Thank you very much, Lauren. Hey, everybody. It's John Hanson, and this is Your Money Matters coming up. Got a great show. Did you forget to file your taxes? Oh, or did you forget, I'm putting this in air quotes, to file your taxes? Stephen Leahy is going to tell you what's next to hopefully avoid any penalties or problems with the IRS. And even if you did file your taxes, some tips for this year so that you're better prepared for next year. Stephen Leahy will break that all down. And Greg McBride will hop on from Bankrate. Student loans, oh boy, it's a topic we talk about a lot. But not only are they causing headaches for folks getting out of college, they are causing generational wealth gaps that are huge. And while you may not be affected by them personally, that could have a big impact on everyone in this country. So we'll talk about that. We'll have some fun, too. I got an item of a grocery list. That's going to be our question of the day that is up insane. I'll get to those details after this on WGN. And producer Iridian wanted to know, how much has coffee gone up? Estimates are 10% in the past year. In fact, it was the commodity that rose the most in 2021. It continues in 2022. And they expect it to go even higher regardless if inflation cools off. And I know, Iridian, you buy stuff sometimes at one of those corner store. She's showing me off right now. That wasn't the super expensive one, though, so there you go. But the cost was up a little bit. Here's what coffee farmers are saying. It's not only inflation, it's fertilizer cost. They did an interview, this is out of KIVI-TV in Idaho, talking about how Idaho roasters, they source their beans from Guatemala, and that fertilizer price is going up because so much fertilizer is made in Russia. One of the big fertilizer suppliers. Anyways, I thought I'd break that down for you. Hey, everyone, this is Your Money Matters. We're going to be talking with Stephen Leahy in just a few moments about what happens if you didn't pay your taxes. And I know there's a lot of you out there. We have you calling in each and every week when we have Stephen on. And we're going to help you get in compliance the right way. And even if you did pay your taxes, we've got some advice for you as well. Greg McBride going to join us from Bankrate as well. And we'll talk about student loans. They have really delayed a big part of Generation Z and Millennials wealth building. And I know a lot of you aren't in those two generations and you say, well, too bad for them, but it could impact you, could impact you a lot. And we're going to chat about that with Greg McBride. We'll get to the question of the day a little bit later on as well. And Lauren, of course, if you have any updates, feel free to update us on that situation in Washington, even though I think we got the all clear. That's certainly some good news.
Yes, and I can verify what you were showing me from another reporter.
Yeah.
It is being verified that it was an aircraft that was part of a demonstration at the Washington Nationals game for a special night for them. So
lack of communication. They had planned it at Nationals Park, military appreciation night, and they just didn't connect. Okay.
Yeah, so the plane was carrying U.S. Army's Golden Knights, who then parachuted into the stadium. But someone failed to mention to the Capitol Police that they would be doing that.
I know that makes you want to pound your head on your desk, but better than the alternative. At least
absolutely.
Sure.
I would much prefer this.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate that. Let's get Stephen Leahy on. Stephen, how are you doing here, my friend?
I'm just great, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Are you breathing a sigh of relief now that tax season is over? Or wait, do now you get an influx of customers who didn't do what they were supposed to do?
Well, I think I need a week. Because it was a hectic tax season this year in my office, so I'm happy it's over. A lot of people that are my clients, We also filed a whole ton of extensions, so it's not over yet, but at least it gives us a little bit of a breathing room.
So for someone that didn't file the deadline by the end of the day Monday, and they say, oh, I'll just file an extension. No, the deadline for the extension filing is also on that Monday, right?
That's true. Although what people don't realize is that if you're a W-2 employee and you have a refund, you don't have to file an extension because there's no penalties for filing late, and you have 3 years to file in order to get your refund.
So if you owe money, they might charge you a penalty because they want that money on day one, and they will maybe penalize you. But if you're owed a refund, they're not going to take that money away from you.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I think a lot of people, don't know that again, if you have a refund, you don't have to file an extension for the extra time.
So is there any punishment for doing it late? I'm not trying to call the IRS's bluff on this, but is it a big deal if you were to send the file in today or tomorrow instead?
If they owe you, No.
Okay.
If you owe them, then yeah, you get charged 0.5% if you fail to pay for every month or portion thereof. So okay. One day late is 30 days late, and you pay 0.5% of whatever you owe the IRS. And if you don't file, then that's 5% per month.
Oh, so, wow, if you don't file at all. Okay. And that
if you don't file for the extension then, right? You don't file an extension, then you get charged up to 25% of what you owe as a penalty.
So if you didn't file on Monday and you'd go to file Tuesday, that one day late, does that immediately do that 5% if you owe them?
The answer is yes.
Wow. Okay, Stephen Lee, I'm going to put you on hold. We got more questions coming in. 312-981-7200. Are you a little bit late? Have you been late for a couple years? Okay, I know that some people are out there. Let's help you sleep easier at night. But first, let's get a look at weather and traffic. 720 WGN, your money matters, especially at tax time. Stephen A. Leahy joins us, attorney. And you wearing the fedora, Stephen, even though you're not here in the building?
Every time I get on the phone with you, John, I put the hat on.
I think anytime you hear my name, I want you to put that hat on, Steve. Okay, you go to WGNTaxMan.com, by the way, for more information about Steven. You ready to take a couple phone calls, Steven?
Absolutely.
All right. I like John's name. Let's go to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Now, what's your question, my friend?
Well, I've had a tax accountant for almost 40 years.
Okay.
And this year, we've played the game. I've got all the paperwork. Everything's in. And all of a sudden, he's disappeared.
It's the same person you've used for 40 years, and now they're just not responding.
Yes. Yes. He's not responding. I looked at his office. His office is, there's no one there. Message unanswered.
I hope he's okay.
And what I'm thinking is he was an anti-vaxxer, so I'm thinking the worst, but that's not what I want to
think.
Well,
let's not hope anything bad on anyone like that. Okay, so John,
absolutely.
Did you send in your information to him this year to file it this year? Like, were you in communication with him early on and
yes.
you gave him stuff? And then, so you gave it all to him, and now he's just disappeared.
Yep.
So you have no verification if anything happened?
Exactly.
All right,
and
Steven.
It's like what usually happens is, you know, when I get all my investment money and all that paperwork, blah, blah, blah. I give it to him, and usually in a week or two, he calls and says, hey, come pick it up.
Okay, so
but
that didn't happen.
I don't know where he lives.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hold on, John. I'm going to let Steven help out a little bit. Steven, is there a way to find out, first and foremost, if his taxes got filed?
Well, you can probably look online on the IRS.gov on your own account to see if it was filed. I don't know if it's going to be there yet, because the IRS just had a busy season,
right.
And it takes them time to put things in the system. If, in fact, he did not file for you, then you have a reason why not to pay penalties, though. And so you can avoid the penalties. If he failed to file, maybe he got sick, and maybe he didn't file for you. That would be what they call a reasonable cause, why you didn't file on time. And that would be a reason to abate the penalties, so you could avoid them.
How does that sound, John?
Okay, so do I need to contact the IRS and tell them what the situation is? Is that how that works?
Well, I would call them to see if they have record that you filed, right? And then
would
if they don't have record,
if I didn't sign anything, would it
probably not?
The answer is probably not, because you have to sign something.
Okay.
That's true.
Might as well check.
Even to file electronically. Now, he could file electronically and say that you signed. That would be disingenuous on his part and not the way the law is supposed to work, but I have heard of people doing that.
All right.
Okay.
All right, John. I'm sorry that happened
to you. Thank
you
so much.
Hey,
appreciate your help.
By the way,
bye-bye.
Go to WGNTaxMan.com. Stephen can help you out if you need any more help. And I know
Absolutely.
Where he lives, and I will show up to his house if he stops answering your phone calls.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks so much, John. 312-981-7200. You know that's true, Stephen.
Yes.
You know, I actually have a question, because, you know, we've talked about my situation where I ended up making a little bit more last year as a contractor than I thought I was going to. Anyways, it's a long way to say that I'm prepaying my taxes this year, pay as you go. Here's my problem, is that I filled out the form on the IRS website, and I appreciate that they have an authentication process, but I haven't gotten the letter in the mail yet for my PIN number, so I've technically missed my first quarter payment, am I okay if I pay as I go the moment I get it for what I've already done for this year, even if it's a couple day late? Or do they maybe would have cause to charge me interest?
Well, they might charge you interest. That's the penalty when you don't make your estimated payments on time. So it's not like they add anything other than the interest. And of course, the IRS compounds interest every day.
Oh.
So that's why it hurts so much.
All right. Well, I'm going to go down to my mailbox and check every hour to see if it's in.
Yeah. Again, you could probably go online and pay anyway without the PIN number. Maybe not. I'm not sure about how the authentication works.
I could do it. The state was fine. It was the IRS. They said, don't do anything. We'll create your account by sending you this in the mail. So,
yeah.
So I'm just a few days away from being scammed and calling you, Stephen. So that's great. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on WGN. Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
What's your question?
A couple of questions.
Yeah.
Quick questions. Number one, I've got a different, not unique, but different situation at home. And I'm trying to figure out how my niece and her two kids that live in my house and I pay all the bills, if they qualify for a dependent, if, in fact, her significant other filed his taxes and claimed them. But that's kind of a two-part question.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
No, you're
but
fine.
The question actually is, okay, she lives with me. She gets help for her groceries.
Right. She's a dependent of you, essentially, right? You are doing everything in this house.
I think so.
But he claims her as a dependent on his taxes. Stephen?
And the kids.
And the kids. Two people claim dependents or no?
The answer is no.
No, I don't.
Right? And when you claim the dependent, you have to have their Social Security number, and then the IRS matches those Social Security numbers. Now,
yeah, I've been doing it for years.
If it's legitimate and he's taking it, that deduction, even you filed the IRS will come back and then ask each one of you to prove it. Now, if the kids are with you more, and you spend more than half of the time with you, then you really qualify and he doesn't.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he lives with his mom. He doesn't even live in a place that.
Okay,
so they could live. They live in my house.
Hold on one second, Kathy. Let me just clarify. So if they both filed, let's say them as dependent because they both want to claim them.
No. She didn't. I'm talking about me and the kid's father.
Kathy, I'm right. I got you, girl. We're good. If they both filed, Kathy and this other man filed as dependents, the IRS would want to rectify that, but they could side on the side of Kathy, right?
Stephen? They might, because again, if she could prove that, because they have to show that the children were with who they were with more than half the time, and who gave them more than half of their sustenance.
Right.
So that's
where the government.
Even if it's in the court, even if it's in a court record that he's supposed to get them, you can overrule that. The IRS can overrule it.
Okay, Stephen, hold on one second, Kathy. First of all, that's a great question, and I would do some talking to the niece and say, look, the gravy train's going to run out unless you get credit for some of that money that he's getting that you aren't. That's a personal. This is a money show, but that's John Hansen on the side. Okay, Kathy.
Yes.
Appreciate the phone call. All right, because I know you don't want to just like leave it up to the government to side with you, and then you get penalized because for whatever reason they don't. I know that's difficult. Yep. I'm going to put everyone on hold, though. We got to take a quick break. WGNTaxman.com is where you can reach Stephen with the fedora. We should send Stephen with his fedora over to that house to knock some sense into that guy. Anyways, let's take a break. And then we got the news here on WGN. Stephen, you ready for taking another question, my friend?
Absolutely.
That was a dramatic one we had, the last one, by the way. But I'm sure
it's taxes, John. Everything's dramatic when it comes to taxes.
You're right about that. Let's go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Okay, so I filed in 2020, but I extended. I mailed it on October 15th. I didn't e-file. I mailed it.
Okay.
And I had a $6,500 refund coming. I haven't received that yet. I went to do my taxes this year for 2021, and I went to e-file. I owe $4,800. The problem is they can't tie out to my last year's AGI. So I can't e-file, and I don't want a paper file again because I don't know if they have a record of my previous year. So one of my questions is somebody recommended that I refile my 2021 with a letter telling them to input it so that I can and then send the refund and then I can e-file later.
Well, boy, that's, somebody else
that's messy
recommended
you.
Not to do that because you might be setting off some type of alarms there because the 2020 return has a refund coming with it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So here's what, first off, I think you can try to use zero as your adjusted gross income for last year. I've seen that works sometimes because it hasn't been filed. So if you use zero, it may work and let you in on the system.
Now, I
wouldn't file the second return. That just creates problems, and so I wouldn't do that. It may be that they will assess you the tax and then credit your account when that other return is processed and give you interest on that. I don't, you know, whether they would charge you any interest for the time that you owed them before they assessed the debt.
So you're saying is Kevin,
give you a refund?
Kevin might have to front
money. What I did this year was I just extended this year and I sent a check in. So I'm covered this year, but
yeah,
I just want to file the return. And I just want to file the return, and I want to figure out how to get my return electronically in there. So one option would be put zero in for AGI and see if it accepts it.
Correct. Or then try, doesn't work, then try to use the previous year that you had from 2019.
The 2019 AGI.
Yeah, try that. But I would try zero first. I'm pretty sure that's what the system is looking for.
Okay. All right, Kevin, try that.
Right.
And we have Steven on so much, you can just call back again in a couple days.
Okay. No, that's a great idea. I appreciate that.
No, thanks, Kevin. I'm sorry you're going through that.
One other question then. So I've read online that they've got 7 to 9 million paper returns that they haven't gotten to.
Oh, yeah.
As of, like, April 1st. So what would your best guess be that they get to a return that was filed October 15th for 2020?
Oh, God. I don't know. Steven, crystal ball, you probably don't have one, do you?
Well, I don't have one, but I know that they're hiring 10,000 new people to help them. They've shuffled their staff in order to put more people on this to try to process these returns that are out there.
Cool.
The commissioner has promised to fix this problem by the end of the year.
All right, cool. Kevin, thanks for the call. I'm going to try and get to someone else before I got to let Steven go. Thanks so much. Let's go to Steve. Steve, we got about a minute left. Let's see if we can get your question in. What's up, Steve?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Real quick, 2018, the shop I was working for is a union shop. 2019, they filed an extra tax form. It stated I made an additional $30,000, which I never received. So I certified mail. They also sent a W-2C form. This year, I go to get my tax return, and I find out that they've taken my tax return because apparently they never received said form. They told me to fax over another copy, which I've done. And now, like, I can't reach anybody when I call. If you stay on hold for 2 hours, and I don't know what to do.
Well, again, you have to keep trying to get through to them. They only answer 1 in 9 phone calls, so it's very difficult to get through. I understand. As long as you've done what you have to do, you're going to have to wait in line like everybody else, and that's just a fact.
I'm sorry,
and
Steve.
And so they took. I'm sorry. I know you're running out
good.
Of time, John.
Oh, I was talking to the other Steve. I said, Steve, sorry that we don't have a better answer for you, but I would keep on trying. It took me a while when I wasn't getting what I wanted, and persistence paid off. I know that's not a great answer, Steve, but keep on trying. You can always go to WGNTaxman.com for more information. I'm going to try and get Katie in really quickly. Katie, I think you have a quick question, right, Katie?
A very quick question. I had heard on the radio previously that the 3-year for 2018, to get a refund was like April 23rd. But my accountant is telling me that I lost that opportunity on the 15th.
Steven?
Actually, on the 18th, April 18th, which was Monday. Unless you ask for an extension in 18, and I had a client just in the other day, and he had 18 refund, and we would have missed it, but he asked for an extension. So that extension gives us until October to get that refund.
So if she had asked for it back in 2018 or 2019,
correct.
I guess for 2018.
Correct. Correct.
All right, Kate. All right.
Rolls over. Well, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Katie. Good luck. Steven, you're a popular guy. Thanks for always hopping on with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John. I got to tell you that I was at the hockey game the other night, and you have so much fun at that game, almost as fun as I did.
Exactly. Thanks, Stephen. Yes, I'm the in-arena announcer and host, if you didn't know out there, folks. All right, Stephen, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
WGNTaxMan.com. We'll talk to him soon, I'm sure. Greg McBride, who talks about all things student loans and how it's really impacting more than just everyone's wallets, how Gen Z and millennials, their deficits could impact you, even if you aren't Gen Z or millennial. We'll get to that after a look at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Your Money Matters here at 650 on 720. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate, joins us. Greg, always great to chat with you, my friend.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about student debt. And obviously, this has been a national conversation for a long time now. But we have new data that shows just how impactful student debt is for Gen Z and millennials on the decisions that they make, big decisions that I know baby boomers and Gen X may not think matters to them, but it does. But first of all, Greg, why don't you give us some of the numbers that stood out to you?
Yeah, 60% of those that either have had or currently have student loan debt say that they've had to delay a financial decision, one or more financial decisions as a result of servicing that debt. And it's even higher for Gen Zs and millennials. It's about 74% for Gen Z, 68% for millennials. And the type of things that are being put off, saving for emergencies, saving for retirement, buying a home, buying a car, those tend to be the more common ones, particularly among those more recent graduates that tend to be carrying higher debt burdens than maybe their parents did when they were in school.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at which generation and how much they've delayed certain decisions. Things like buying a house. Baby boomers say 12% of them delayed buying a house because of student debt. Millennials are at 30%. And I know some people might say, well, boo-hoo, sorry you can't own a house, millennials. But this impacts the greater economy, doesn't it, Greg?
Well, I think if we take a little bit of a longer view, it does sort of balance out in the sense that about 10 years ago, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth, particularly in a real estate community, because there was a lot of data showing millennials weren't buying houses at the same rate as their parents did or at that same age. And what we've seen in the years since is that a lot of those millennials that didn't buy in, say, their mid to late 20s, they were investing in career mobility, getting their education, paying down that student loan debt. Well, now in their mid-30s or late-30s, they're not only buying, but now we've got this wave of millennial home buyers, a lot of them skipping right over the starter home altogether. So I think, yes, the debt may put off certain financial milestones, but the higher earning power, the higher level of employability means that when they do start to save, when they do start to invest, when they do start to buy homes, they're able to do so at a higher level had they not had that education and started doing so earlier.
One of the questions is, have you delayed getting married? And 18% of Gen Zers, although I guess, well, they are at marriage age now for some of them, 18% say millennials is about 15%, whereas you compare it to Gen X and baby boomers is way lower. And I wonder, I know getting married actually costs money, but are part of these just general trends that millennials and Gen Zers are doing already and that student debt may be one of the reasons that they attribute to it, but it could be part of cultural shifts as well?
Yeah, we do see that, more broadly. I mean, in this particular instance, we were talking specifically to people who did have or have had student loan debt. And so, yes, there's probably some overlap with just sort of the general trends for their counterparts in the same age group. But what we do see is that those that have had student loan debt, they do say that that was one of the factors at play.
Do people regret getting a higher education?
No, they don't. And that's one thing that really stands out. There's no shortage of things that people might do differently if they had it to do over again. But only 10% said that they would not have pursued the higher education. About a third said they wouldn't do anything differently. Those that did have regrets, it tended to be things like wish I'd applied for more scholarships, worked more in school, maybe getting a different degree in a different field, attending a less expensive university or a community college. Those tended to be the most commonly cited things that people would do differently. But Skipping out on the education altogether? No, that we didn't see much of that.
That's not what Twitter tells me, Greg, when all the people that I follow and the national conversation about debt as well. And I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate gripes, but we seem to, gosh, I feel that I hear from everybody that on Twitter who hate student loans say, I should have never gone to that school or something like that. But it just doesn't bear out, at least in the data that you're looking at.
Well, I mean, saying that they wouldn't have gone to that school, I mean, we did see that pop up.
Okay.
But that's not the same as saying, I would have never gotten the education altogether.
True.
You know, we did see a fair percentage. 17% said that they would go to a less expensive school if they had it to do over again. 15% said they would go to a community college if they had it to do over again. And 19% said they would get a degree in a different field. So, yes, that's a pretty common thread, but not getting a degree at all. Only 10% said so.
Greg, zooming out a little bit, what do you take away from all of this?
Well, college education is an investment, but one that has a really strong return on investment. It just takes time for it to build on itself. When you look at the unemployment rate for college grads is 2%. It's 4% for high school grads. So the unemployment rate's half for college grads. And there's still nearly $1 million lifetime earnings premium for having that college degree. So very strong return on investment. It just takes time to build. And then those first years out of school, not only are you kind of starting out low on the totem pole, you also have this debt to service. So that kind of takes a little while to get the momentum going. But those that, because of that higher level of employability and higher earnings, when they do start to save, in the long run, they're likely to save much more than if they hadn't had that education for which the debt resulted.
This is anecdotal. We'll have to see how this ultimately plays out. I feel like when a lot of people took on this debt, it wasn't such a conversation. I know a lot of friends my age in their mid to late 30s took on a lot of debt, and you hardly ever heard about how the rising cost of college was in the news. Now it has been a huge part of a national conversation. It will be interesting to see as these younger Gen Zs and the next generation, how many of them choose to take on these bigger loans if we've learned from some of the mistakes. But I guess we'll have to wait 10 to 15 years to find out, Greg.
Well, you know, I don't think that, you know, there's necessarily a need to wait. I think there's a lot of people that are sort of, you know, rethinking that now. How much do I want to invest in this education, and what's my likely earning power at the other end of that? Calibrating how much you borrow with you know, what your potential earning power at the other end is seems to be key. And also keep in mind, student loans are not the only form of financial aid. Scholarships, grants, work-study programs, you know, all of those you know, other legs on the stool, if you will, in terms of financing that education.
For sure. And no matter what college you end up going to, if you do, don't sign up for a credit card because they give you a free Frisbee. That is a John Hansen lesson to all you kids out there. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks a lot.
Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate. All right, we'll take a break, then we'll wrap things up next on Your Money Matters on WGN.